Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 71 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I'm your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me is pretty much everybody you saw the last time around that we were kind of around here. We have Matthew Aguilar back.
What's up, everybody?
Janelle Wheeler's back.
Hey, guys.
And Connor Casey's back.
What up?
And starting in like reverse order there, Connor's back because we have got to recap WWE's Clash of Champions. We did a whole preview of the pay-per-view event. Now we got to tell you how it turned out and what the fallout has been ever since. Plus, we got to talk about a major DC character that just got cast, some major DC characters that could be getting new shows, a major Marvel character that is getting a show, and the restart of the G.I. Joe movie series has been confirmed. Plus, we got TV check-in, so we got to talk about The Boys, Lovecraft Country, The Boys, Lovecraft Country, The Return of Fargo, Season 4, it just premiered, so we're going to break that down as well. And there's a lot of comic stuff to talk about, as we were telling you guys on the official Comic Book Nation Twitter page, which is now out there at Comic Book Nation, so hit us up there. All right, so let's get started. No dilly-dallying and all the banters and whatnot today. We got to get to it. We got a job to do. There's actual stuff happening. All right, up at the top, let's start with DC. So DC is casting its next phase of heroes for certain movies because we're finding out each of these kind of films is going to be bigger affairs than we thought. I mean, it's safe to say, like, The Flash is turning into this whole multi-Batman event. But there's also The Rock's Black Adam, which is also going to introduce the Justice Society of America to live-action movie DC Universe. And it's going to have four major DC characters, or, you know, three of them and one we kind of know. I'm throwing shade at Cyclone, of course. But Atom Smasher, Hawkman, Dr. Fate, and Cyclone will be the JSA team that Black Adam kind of goes up against and may or may not end up kind of falling in line with. We'll see how that goes. But we already know that actor Noah Centineo was playing Atom Smasher, so we knew that casting. Now we got the casting for DC's Hawkman, who will be played by Aldous Hodge, who you probably know as he played the kind of friend cop character in The Invisible Man, if you just want a recent film that came out with Elizabeth Moss. So, but he's been in a lot of things. He was in Underground in different kind of shows. He's a really good actor, actually.
Leverage, man. I love that show
Leverage,
so much.
Yes. That was his big breakout role. I didn't know if this was the kind of crowd that, you know, the Leverage crowd. But you're here, so there we go.
We're diverse.
So, yeah, he was in Leverage. And, yeah, so now he's going to be Hawkman. So I, for one, am cool with this casting. We know it's going to be Carter Hall that he's going to be playing. And so I know some people have, like, you know, there's always, especially in DC, who's kind of been more open to kind of recasting characters in different forms and ways, either, like, you know, gender flips or race flips or kind of changes. Aldous Hodge is, of course, an African-American actor playing Hawkman. But, I mean, I haven't gone to the depths of the internet on this, but so far I haven't heard anybody get too crazy about this. Because it's Hawkman, right? Like, nobody, I mean, I'm sure there are Hawkman stands out there. Because I have had a Hawkman fan group come after me before.
Oh. And that's a what real for? Story.
For making glib remarks about Hawkman in a longer...
For saying that there are no fans of Hawkman.
Yeah, for a longer piece where I was celebrating and saying why Hawkman's awesome. So, like, I don't know what they...
I feel like that's always the way it is. Like, if someone goes to, like, compliment and go, like, oh, my God, this is huge for the character because, like, you know, it doesn't have, like, any real... There's not a lot of stuff out there in fanfare and, like, this is great news. And I feel like those are the ones that get crapped on the most. Because then people come out of the woodwork and like, well, yeah, we love this character from the beginning. I've been a
Hawkman fan since 1986. Yeah. And like, yeah.
You just didn't praise them the right
forever.
Way.
But the Aquaman thing got pulled off pretty seamlessly. Nobody's like really mad about that, right? I mean, the thing people are probably most mad about is Jason Momoa, the persona of Aquaman. But like, you know, that's all.
Right.
They, you know, not to be a pun heavy person, but that ship has sailed. So like that's already done and gone.
Let it go.
So,
I have to throw a song.
So, thank you, Janelle. I like the song.
Early. Yeah. It got out of here.
No, man, we should do that every time. We can just like sing away our haters. I like this. So Hawkman is another one who's kind of like one of these DC characters who was the butt of the joke for many years, who, you know, a modern interpretation isn't bad. It's also kind of curious, as I was pointing out in the article, kind of announcing the casting, that, you know, Carter Hall is supposed to be the reincarnated version of an Egyptian prince. And I know back in like the 1930s and 40s, when we had Sir Laurence Olivier to play anything and everything, and, you know, we could run around and cast Egypt with him and a bunch of other Brits and stuff like that. That was all the rage. I don't think we're there in these days.
That's
and times
such
now.
A good point. Like, and that's really exciting.
Yeah. And so if you're reincarnating, you know, I'm not going to get too heavy in this because it could go either way because it's reincarnation and we don't know, there are no rules of reincarnation. True. So like, we don't have to get too crazy about this. You can go to sleep as an Egyptian prince and wake up as, you know, powder. I don't know. Might be how reincarnation works. So like, and that's a 90s reference for anybody.
Yes, I remember.
Did not expect a powder reference.
Yeah, you didn't expect that when you woke up this morning, right? That's why life is great, Matthew. Keeps you surprised.
Oh man.
Surprised. But So it also could be just as easily be the story of a guy who does have the same body and looks and things as an Egyptian prince, who I'm sure we are now at least more open to the idea that this person could be at least slightly browned in the skin of.
I mean, bottom line is he has to have fantastic abs. I hope they don't drop the ball with the abs because in all of this artwork of this character, this man is very fit and he looks impeccable and I'm just gonna say it, he's hot.
Well, I mean, there's some concept art somebody did, like a professional, like a really good fan artist did a concept of this, and I mean, he's making Aldous Hodge look good. And Aldous Hodge is, I mean, he's got the abdomen for it, like
good, perfect, that's like all I need to hear abdomen. And then I'm on board.
And they even made the harness and nth metal look good in the concept art of him, like it actually looked like badass, and I was like, okay, like I kind of believe that. So I mean, Janelle, I think you speak for the main demographic of
the ladies.
Hawkman. Yeah. No, just not the ladies. Okay. Let's not limit it. We're wide open, trying to be more wide open than that these days. But to anybody who's appreciative of Hawk abs, the men who want to be him.
And arms and shoulders and pecs. And
the men and women who
jawline.
Want to worship him or be him, either way. Doesn't matter the gender line you're on. But the abs are key here.
They got the guy from the Eternals ripped. Like they can get all this ripped.
Oh, I'm sure he already is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a very handsome man. So I think they did a great job.
Yeah. So, and he's the kind of guy who's like, if you saw Invisible Man, like he has that like very good kind of big brother quality to him. Like he's like tough, but like in a big brother tough kind of way that like, you know, I mean, that's exactly who played Invisible Man. Maybe that's just me and recency bias, but like he was Elizabeth Moss, like best friend and like her bigger brother type. But that's also to say like when it's time to throw down, he's a badass. So like he's a big dude. So I'm going to be looking forward to him swinging that mace.
Could be cool.
And he looks like the kind of guy who would dare you to make fun of the wings too. So just like, you know, he's almost Aquaman. So.
Those wings are so hard to get right. We've yet to really get one completely right.
But that's why I like the concept art. And go check this out on comicbook.com DC. It's by Dantry, concept artist.
I've seen the stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I butcher your name.
Their stuff, I don't know.
But very talented kind of artist. But it just made the nth metal wings look like a device. It had like rims that were made of nth metal with like feather looking plumes and stuff, but it looked like a harness and it looked like a device made to look like a bird.
Yeah.
Which was believable. And like I said, it made the armor and the wings and the harness all look like badass weapons. Like, so yeah, like you can do this right. And I think they got the guy with the right kind of swagger for that. All right. I'm getting sucked down a Hawkman hole.
Hey man, who knew?
Yeah. Right. 2020, bro. All right. Moving right along to the other side of the DC arena. JJ, we've been keeping a careful eye on where JJ Abrams is in this whole DC Warner Brothers, Warner Media mix, his deal and what he'll be doing. And there's been rumor on rumor on rumor, but the latest is that he's taking on a Zatanna and a Constantine show for HBO Max. And this is part of the larger rumors we've been hearing of something building up towards a Justice League Dark kind of team up on the HBO Max side as being their kind of version of Avengers. What do you guys think? Oh man, is JJ Abrams the guy that you want to see take on Constantine and Zatanna? Connor, you look like you have thoughts.
So did we all just forget that Constantine had a show on network television and it bombed? And fans tried to campaign for Matt Ryan to get another show, and the best we got was Legends of Tomorrow.
I mean, he's great in Legends of Tomorrow.
He is great, but
yes,
that was the best we got. So what are you doing this time around? Are you bringing him back, making the fans happy? Are you going even further back and bringing in Keanu?
Well, like, the rumors are Keanu. The rumors are that Keanu is interested in coming back.
Back, but I thought it was for a movie.
But that was for, yeah, like there's this JJ stuff. I have no idea what this like JJ universe is. I don't really know.
It's that new part of the DC universe that's like been announced. But again, and this whole Justice League Dark thing has always been kind of weirdly cursed. Like every time we hear about it, it's going to come.
The animated, so we know he's working
on he's working on the team series. And now these are two spinoffs. We don't know if these are coming first or these are coming after.
Yeah.
And we don't know the format. Is he going to do a bunch of solo focus series that lead up to the team thing? Or do they come, like, again, do they come after kind of opening the door on the whole magic and occult and all that and then having them go in separate ways? I don't know.
I love the idea of a Zatanna series because I think that is that one. I think it's actually, it's an easier to digest character and project and everything to get that off the ground. I think that's it's interesting. It's this magician superhero, like there's not really anything else like it out there, so I think that's an easier sell. And I actually think JJ, if he gets the right lead, I mean, I'm not like the biggest JJ Abrams person, but like I think that could work. The Constantine mix, I don't know how I feel about that, but I will say, and also like Zatanna has actually been done well. Smallville did a great version of Zatanna. Sarinda Swan before the poor Medusa thing killed Zatanna. Like, it was a great interpretation. So, like, there's actually, it's been done. It's been done pretty well. You give it a budget and you actually, like, explore the backstory and stuff. It's an interesting thing. I think JJ wouldn't be a terrible choice. I actually have more faith in that. And I think Justice League Dark is one of those things where, like, you need to at least introduce one or two characters by themselves, then you can bring in all the, because like Justice League Dark has had so many kind of quirky, weird characters over the years that like a team up movie, you can put a couple of those and bring them in and introduce them to fans. But you need like one or two pillars that people already know and care about. So,
well, I mean, there's a reason adaptations have brought in like Batman and Wonder Woman to be on the team so that someone can look at it and go, hey, I know that person.
And Wonder Woman's been really good on Dark.
Yeah,
yeah, she's been really good in Dark. Yeah, I was actually surprised that worked out so well.
Because at first glance, you're like, what the hell is she doing here?
It was an odd mix, but I got to say that.
I mean, it makes sense because like, if anybody knows about the supernatural, or the occult, or the mystical, like,
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and she's got that kind of attitude. Yeah,
and
she'll beat up somebody. Yeah. Oh, God, stop it. All right. So that's going on. All I'll say is if they go for an older one, I would love to. I've always wanted to see my girl Lizzie Caplan play Zatanna. I thought she'd be a great
one. Oh, my God. Like a freaking dead ringer. Like, that's like perfect.
And she has the attitude and the comedic
perfect
stuff.
Casting.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, she would be great. And she'd handle all the, like, the Hollywood, like the kind of celebrity performer, the dad stuff, like all that stuff should be great. And she just has the wit. So, I mean, that would be me. All right, that's moving on. That's over in DC land. Let's hop over the fence. Marvel time. So we learned that Sam mother effing Jackson is getting a Nick mother effing series on Disney Plus. So yeah, Nick Fury is getting his own Disney Plus series. That's it. All right. No, I'm just kidding. We got to talk about that. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So Sam Jackson's, jumping in for this. And it's interesting because this comes at a pivotal time. I mean, Spider-Man Far From Home just set up some pretty interesting things about, like, what Nick Fury is doing or into. This thing could be all over the MCU. They already got the software for DH Sam Jackson in the computer. So,
he looked really good. They did a really good job on it.
Yeah, and there's all this kind of other, like, weird stuff that, like, whatever Fury was doing in that weird interval until between, like, after Winter Soldier until he kind of, like, popped. I think he popped up in Avengers 2 to save their butts at one point, and then he kind of fell off the radar again. Until he got dusted, right? And then he was kind of operating and, like, there's all that time of, like, that could tie into whatever's happening in Black Widow and comes back in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. There's the sword stuff that could be happening in space with the Skrulls and all that. So, I mean, it's a pretty good time to kind of put this out. So, yeah, and I'm kind of psyched. And, of course, because it's a TV series with Sam Jackson in it, it's already going to have a huge draw and in some, like, demographics that Marvel TV probably doesn't usually do.
That's true.
I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of like with Black Panther, kind of like, not to be cynical, but like if you're looking for that, you know, people of color demographic, and Black Panther's kind of stalling right now, like this is an easy layup to kind of get some attention back in that direction.
Agreed. So, yeah. It's weird for me. Like I feel the premise itself, I could not really care less about. It's a Nick Fury movie. It's kind of like when in Ultimate Alliance when they're like, hey, the unlockable character you got is Nick Fury. I was like, it's a dude with a gun. Like, why do I care with this? Like, yeah. I kind of deal with this. The reason why I would get excited is the possibilities that Kofi was going through. Like, it really depends on when this takes place. If this takes place in the post, Far From Home, like that time, and we see what's going on from here, I mean, that sounds really interesting because that's all new stuff. If we go like to the past, I'm gonna kind of check out because it's just not, I don't, Nick Fury is great as the glue that like keeps these things together and like all the shifting stuff behind the scenes. That stuff is interesting in small doses because it fills a hole. When it's just by itself,
I'm going to disagree with you because on paper, I agree with you. But what surprised me and gives me hope was what turned around for me after seeing how they were using him in the MCU in the first phase was how the Russo brothers used him in Winter Soldier. And what that movie did, and I hope this series does, is it proved that even when you think like things are so bad and like just going off the rails, Fury's that dude who is always two steps ahead and has a plan and has a backup plan and has a contingency plan
for
that backup plan. Yeah. And like, so that sequence, like him on the road and the car heist and then escaping by kind of like cutting his way through the ground and getting out of the car and escaping Winter Soldier and then coming back at the end and using his eye to enter the security code.
And like, that's all really cool.
James Black, this Black James Bond stuff.
Cool because it works because the rest of the movie exists. It's not him by himself. That whole movie is not now have to invest in a six episode series.
Like I said, I agree with you on paper like that, but it gives me hope that if you put it in the right hands and somebody makes like a hard boiled espionage series, that's kind of like that pace of Fury going through those kinds of things. Like you could mine what was the best stuff of that and actually turn it into something good as opposed to just like the boring stuff. And in the process set up, like a bunch of stuff, like you were saying. I'm just saying the possibilities there. It could also be the one time, like you said, it could just be dude with a gun. Who is this dude with no powers series? Like,
I'm hopeful. I think it'd be
good, again, because they've done that. But I'm just saying, like, it's not immediately like, oh, it's got me. I need more information. But agreed, it could be it could be very good. So, I mean, I'm not ruling it out by any means.
I wouldn't be shocked if this series kind of jumps around in the timeline where we see very young Nick Fury. We, like you said, we've got the de-aging technology, past Far From Home. So he's out in space with Sword. I don't think it's going to be just an all space show. So you could very well just see him trying to set that up with flashbacks back to either pre that or post Captain Marvel. And then maybe when stuff was going on after Ultron, he's working cleanup on that.
Okay, now that's intriguing.
Because I feel like you could get six episodes out of that, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's some new kind of, like, we keep coming back to it, but I feel like there's some, like, new kind of espionage, secret, super soldier, something that's, like, kind of taking shape as one of the phase four threads. And I could see this would be a good gap filler for, like, a lot of that stuff of, like, what happened in the espionage world. Maybe even help with some of this lingering S.H.I.E.L.D. continuity, help fill in some gaps there.
Yeah. True.
Maybe it's just even more Hydra. And he's just like, I am tired of these snakes. Bang.
Oh, man.
That was great.
Wow, that better be the end of the first trailer. I am tired of these snakes. Yeah, all right. That's a good place to stop for a break and pay some bills. Kind of Casey taking us out on a good one-liner there. All right, so we're going to pay some bills, and when we come back, we're going to talk about G.I. Joe getting a good start. We're going to check in with a bunch of TV, wrestling, and comics, so stay tuned for all of that.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, we're back. So if you guys don't know, G.I. Joe film franchise is still a thing that's happening. Yo, Joe, indeed. So it's still happening. And this time they're trying to go for more of that, like, they're doing like what Marvel did in the 2000s. They had their little 2000s run down. They're trying to go for something a little more prestigious, get a little bit bigger talent in here to do some of this. And we're going to be starting with a G.I. Joe Snake Eyes movie that stars Henry Golding, who starred in the new cult classic Holiday Romance Last Christmas. You guys know?
Last Chris. Okay,
I'm sorry. I mean, I can sing the song, but...
It was right, good. It was a good movie. Yeah. It was a good movie.
Oh, are we not getting that?
What? Was I supposed to sing?
Oh, you want me to sing it? Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away.
All right, I think that's all we got the legal rights for.
Awesome.
So,
thank you, Janelle. Yeah, 30 seconds.
Yeah, thank you, Janelle. Killing it, as always. Oh, man, it's good to have those musical accompaniments. We don't have to buy technology or anything. We're getting a G.I. Joe Snake Eyes movie with Henry Golding, and it's directed by Robert Schwentke, who did Red. Good.
You're so surprised.
And also did R.I.P.D. Bad.
Like, he did Red. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, and did R.I.P.D., which is bad. But he does that kind of action comedy type deal. But this is going to be all about kind of Snake Eyes ninja training and all that stuff. But apparently, we now have it confirmed that this is just the start of the restart of the G.I. Joe franchise. So basically, we're building up to G.I. Joe from the opposite direction by starting with Snake Eyes and the whole ninja sect stuff and then leading up to G.I. Joe.
So
but do they get the Rock back is the real question.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're connected at all, right? Like, this is a complete clean sweep.
Normally, when you want to save a franchise, you add The Rock. This time, you're subtracting The Rock.
Well, because I think that's more probably because The Rock has, like, you know, 90 things.
That is also true.
He's yes. doing, and, like, does he really need to make time for G.I. Joe? No. You know, like, I don't know. Like, I can't remember. Did he die? They killed, like, so many people.
They killed Channing Tatum. I think
they killed Channing Tatum. Yeah, the whole second film was, like, The Rock, Bruce Willis, Channing Tatum, Adrian Padalecki.
Yeah.
And then, like, taking revenge on everybody.
I actually liked that movie.
I
thought it was kind of fun. I mean, it wasn't anything great.
I don't know.
The first one's a train wreck.
I don't know, man. Super suit sequence. Are you kidding me? Marlon Wayans, Channing Tatum.
Wait. Are you being serious?
I don't know.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I'm Cobra Commander.
They're both so bad that, but I don't remember which one I hate more.
You get Chris Eccleston, and then you don't let him talk, and you put. It's kind of like when they had Ryan Reynolds and then, like, sewed his mouth shut. You're like, I did like
the super suit sequence and all that madness of the first one. But I did like all the ninja mountain battle of the second one. So, like, yeah, but they're both so bad.
They're not great. I mean, neither one is great.
Like, the second one's not a coherent movie. And the ending of that movie with the weird beach fight is just so, like, I don't know. At least the end, the first.
The bar is low for both. We can safely say that.
I think if you take pieces of each, you have a pretty solid two-star movie in there. But all right. So Henry Golden says Snake Eyes has blown him away. They've created G.I. Joe into something very cool and a far throw from what we've seen thus far on the big screen. Got to throw those other fools under the bus. I think there's room for many spinoffs, to be honest. This, I think, will be the launch of a brand new franchise.
So just from the brief, you know, things we know about it and the stuff like we've seen. Did anyone want, like, to explore Snake Eyes, like, as a, like, who he was before he was a complete badass? Cause, like, the whole thing with him is he's kind of like, for the longest time, like, that's how Logan was. Like, he was just like, oh, he's a cool badass character. Like, we don't necessarily need to, like, know all this stuff. And then, like, they would open up the Pandora's box and, like, go and dive in. Did anyone want a deep dive into, like, who Snake Eyes is?
Before, never. But then I saw that crazy series that was on Cartoon Network.
Resolute. Oh, so good.
Yeah. And they did an arc about why Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow hate each other. And if you've never seen that, go on YouTube now, look up G.I. Joe Resolute, Storm Shadow versus Snake Eyes. And they did this whole, and it basically is this movie. It's the story of them being at the dojo, Snake Eyes being kind of like this, just like, I think he was like a street orphan or whatever, and like the most unlikely guy, while Storm Shadow was supposed to be this, like, prodigy and things, but Snake Eyes, like, came up and was the best and the favored one. So Storm Shadow killed their master, and then Snake Eyes kicked his ass, and then that rivalry just transformed to them joining G.I. Joe and Cobra to basically get at each other. And they have this awesome, like, and it's mostly, I think, a silent film. I haven't watched it in many years. I gotta go watch that episode again, but, it was written by Warren Ellis. So, like, when you give somebody the right person, like, these stories, like, yeah, it's a pretty awesome. And it just hit that thing of being, like, cool G.I. Joe military action, but also being, like, every kung fu fan's, like, it was just a badass, like, ninja flick.
That's true. Resolute was great. So,
yeah, that I one. Will. I mean, it's hard to remember, but, yeah. Will this one do it? The guy who wrote The Huntsman, Winter's War, and Hercules, and Tinkerbell, Lost Treasure? I don't know.
Oh, man.
You were just digging this hole for a
while. Wow, yes. You're the boy.
Evan Speleotopoulos. Like, yeah, so I don't know. Will he do the same as Warren Ellis?
Who knows?
No. Yeah.
He watched that episode.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch that Resolute episode. I do know that for sure. So, all right. And no, nobody was asking for the rebirth of G.I. Joe movie franchise. No, nobody was. But here we are. Here we are, Hasbro.
Even though I like G.I. Joe, but I love G.I. Joe. You know,
I mean, I grew up loving G.I. Joe. I was a heavy Joe head in, like, the 80s and the 90s as a kid. So, but, like, I saw those movies and, like, I don't want to remember them, and I don't want to do it again. So
just go buy the G.I. Joe classified figures that are out right now, because they're dope.
Those are good. All right, so moving from movies over to TV. Let's go through our recap of TV shows we got. We don't have always a lot these days, but we do have some really good stuff when we do have stuff. So let's talk about The Boys. This week in The Boys.
Spoilers.
Yeah, this is all spoilers. You might as well just call this our spoilers TV section because this is what we're doing. We recap what we saw, talking about it, the details, and telling you guys why you should be checking it out. So The Boys, all I can think is penis. No, I'm just kidding. But
I mean,
yeah.
Love sausage.
Yeah.
That's so great.
But that, I mean, that got me. I was like, oh, they're doing like X-Men's Toad, and they weren't doing X-Men's Toad. No, The Boys is crazy. But this episode was good because it was great because it mixed information and action in a good way. So they went to this kind of, basically the big thrust of the episode is the boys kind of broke into this this facility that Vought had that they discovered. And it's where they, Stormfront has been kind of visiting and Lamplighter has been hanging out. Sean, what's his name? Oh my God.
Ashmore.
I have never
been that excited to see him in a show ever, but when he shows up as frickin' Pyro, you're like, you guys did it. Excited about an old X-Men casting.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was great. But and so what they've been doing is Vought's been trying to create their drug that makes super people into super people and make it stabilized so they can, for reasons yet unknown. And
in adults.
Because
they're finding that children can handle it, but putting it into adults, it's not stable at all.
Yeah, and so they're trying to make it so they can instantly make super people out of adults, out of grown adults. So that heist mission goes sidewards very fast. For reasons, because people like Stormfront and Lamplighter start showing up, and of course they have deep psychological connections to boys members like a Frenchie and I always forget
Kimiko,
and oh God, see every time I think of Kimiko, I think of Krieger's like weird on Archer, Krieger's like weird like holographic way.
See, I think a Shaolin
or the body pillow so. Or the body pillow James Franco was in love with on 30 Rock was named Kimiko. Anyway,
anyway,
back to this. That was a little side trip through my head, but yeah. So that heist goes bad, and it becomes like just a total cluster when all these dangerous freaks get loose and start kind of destroying the place and murdering people and. Including this one terrifying girl who, I think she's basically Magneto.
She's worse. She's Professor Xavier.
Awesome though.
Oh, was she? I couldn't tell what her power was. I thought at one point she was bending the metal off thing, and she made people's like iron explode or something.
I think it was just telekinesis because she just blew up that one guy.
Yeah, it was just later when I saw her do something, and I thought she was bending metal of like their guns and stuff that I thought she was like maybe manipulating and blowing up the iron. But it doesn't matter. She just made people explode. And it's scary stuff.
She's strong, really strong. That was scary.
And
more important, like Cabin in the Woods stuff when you're just watching the monitors.
Yeah, and people would just die. Oh man, it was nuts. So that was good, and they kind of the boys got out of there. But the other side of it was Homelander kind of finding out the true origins of Stormfront and what her real identity is, and that was the big kind of informational reveal about Compound V and Vought. And basically, Vought's a Nazi operation.
Yeah.
So and
but is it Vought or is it just her? Like that's my question. No, is she kind of?
No, the original purpose of Vought, the guy, the company's name.
I mean,
was,
now
to though, do this like, research. Now it's just a great crazy corporation.
Well, I was gonna say like Edgar explains though that like it came from that Nazi
right.
like that stuff. Now he even says at one point when he's like explaining to Homelander like we don't tell the public that right. we hide that we're not that's not what we do now. But mm-hmm. all of the stuff stems.
Yeah,
from there. So at its roots, yes. I mean, it is still very much that same screwed up mentality.
And that's also a play on, I mean, real things and real World War II history and post-World War II history, which if you want to watch the much more disturbed, I mean, Amazon's other show, Hunters, I mean, deals with that in a more mm-hmm. still exaggerated, heightened, but
also slightly
closer to history kind of way about mm-hmm. all the Nazi science and practices. And that's also why we have the modern trauma center. I mean, that's why? Because of all that research that was done to people during World War II on people during World War II to figure out how much pain you could take and how to keep alive and all that stuff. And anyway, So, yeah, so this is a good kind of twist on real corporations. Don't ask where your Fanta comes from. Don't ever look that up. You will be disturbed.
It's really crazy how much information is just like thrown at you in the last minute and a half of the episode when she just discloses so everything. But I am also left thinking, do we buy it? Do we buy this, like, I love you to Homelander? Okay, neither am I. I'm kind of like, she sold it though. Like, I felt like maybe she is really happy to, you know, like find her match. But yeah, I feel like there's going to be something else up her sleeve.
Yeah, I don't trust anything she says.
Yeah.
So.
her whole like demeanor of, and you don't cast that actress to be like the, I love you and I'm,
I know
what we're going to do. It's like, it, you don't cast her for that. You cast her to be the one that turns around and goes, actually, I've been playing you the whole time. By the way, I'm a Nazi.
Well, I don't think that the two are mutually exclusive. I think she is revealing something, but it's still, she's using him. I mean,
he is like, I mean, she's so good in that role.
I mean, he is the Nazi version of the Übermensch, which would be like the ultimate Superman. And that's been like her first comment to him is how blue his eyes are and all that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even catch that.
So much more sense. Like, so yeah, that's why she likes him, because to her, it's like her Nazi, you know, thrill. This is the ultimate Superman.
Wow.
So she's going to use it. And yeah, so at least I didn't have to see another sex scene with them, so that was good.
I
had to see the mother's milk catch a D around the neck, so that was, I mean, I don't know. But the boys has to shock us at least and leave me scarred.
I mean, people were waiting for that appearance.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's from the comics?
Yeah, that's straight from the comics.
I didn't know.
That character was, like, people were, like, waiting for that character to show up.
Of course they were.
And it was like, yep, there it is.
That's so great. All
right, we're going to move along, right? By the way, Fanta was created in Nazi Germany when Coca-Cola created embargo against.
Oh, we also forgot to say
the A-Train thing.
I do
A-train
love Fanta.
Oh, A-Train. Oh, yeah, there's a call. A-Train's getting sucked in. He took the, what is it?
The Fresca. And now Fresca. I want one. Like, my fiance and I looked at each other. I'm like, I'm kind of craving a Fresca at this point because they keep saying
it. This is how it starts, Janelle.
I know. I'm scared. Yeah.
Once you are craving a Fresca, you're already in a cult because nobody craves Fresca. All right. So that was the boys. We're going to keep going with that. It's the hottest thing in TV right now. I'll do a shout out for Lovecraft Country, episode 7. If you guys are not watching this show, man, like I said, this is every like black nerd dream. I was telling a friend of mine, like, they cover everything. They cover horror. This week was sci-fi as one character unlocked the secret to alternate dimensions and time travel, met some superior AI consciousness that had an afro. This show is crazy. Jumped through different periods of time and lived many different lives of famous people. Alongside famous people. And by the end, now it seems like our main character has shifted back into a version of the show that's set in an alternate dimension. So he's in a kind of slightly altered version of the own 1950s that he's in, as evidenced by a book called Lovecraft Country that's been written by his dead uncle. So Lovecraft Country, we do an update on an article that says what's happening in the show. You can always go and check it out. But yeah, I love it. And this just keeps getting wilder. And week to week, even more so than Watchmen, this offers you different flavors of things every week while still kind of keeping the connected dots. Like last week was a 1950s Korean War horror story. This week was a futurist, like an Afro-punk, futuristic, crazy sci-fi tale. They've done like a serialized Raiders of the Lost Ark tale. We've done like a Freaky Friday, literally Freaky Friday tale. Like, I mean, it's just the variety the show offers is crazy. So really still enjoying Lovecraft Country, even like, because every time I'm done, I'm just like, oh man, it makes you think. Good, loving it. All right. Now, so something that came back that I'm real happy about. Also, we got Fargo back. Fargo is, God bless FX, because Fargo is such a hard show to market. And they do it through these quirky, weird commercials. But even those don't do justice to the show, because every time when I sit down and watch a season, I'm always skeptical because the marketing is just this quirky, like jazz-infused kind of selection of scenes and stuff. I'm always like, okay, that's very hip. I don't know if I'm going to like this. But then every time the show starts, like, I was literally like typing or doing something, and I just found myself repeatedly just like frozen watching these two-part premiere for Fargo season 4. And it basically, every season's an anthology that looks at the Midwest and, you know, instances of great violence and change and turbulence and how it relates to the larger American story, with weird quirks kind of thrown in. In this case, we're looking at Kansas City and the history of the gangs. And Kansas City does have a very extensive gang history. If you've ever bothered to look into it, it's pretty violent. There's a lot of, I mean, just in the Kansas area alone, there is an entire history of violence that goes with it. And this kind of takes a look at the different ethnicities of gangs that came in to seize power in the area. You know, first there was the Jewish people who had settled there. Then they got taken over by the Irish, who then got taken over by the Italians, who now this story takes place looking at the conflict between the Italians and the blacks. And the black gang is led by Chris Rock, who is the gang leader. And it's basically the power struggle and the kind of tenuous truce they had. And they have these weird customs like trading. They do the dark side high father thing where they trade for like their sons to keep peace. Each gang trades like a son to the other gang. So you raise your enemy's son. And so that's a whole part of the story.
Which is usually the downfall like of every single one.
Exactly.
So it's
which
like
is the downfall because the son of one gang
always one betrays the other.
The other gang and sets up the gang to be massacred.
So it's like, what?
Yeah. So
why are you doing that again?
Well, that's so the thing, stupid. Like, because everybody that's thinks really they're going to be the smart ones. Everybody thinks they're going to be the smart ones to kind
they're
of
gonna be on the
game
right
the system.
Side, yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of the chess moves about these men of power and like what they're thinking and going. But if you don't remember, Fargo is also about weird, random things that kind of get thrown in the mix and then throw everybody off, which the Coen brothers love. Is Blood Simple is pretty much the premise of that too. Is there's always
but
this
also
X factor.
Ties in. It's crazy. It's yeah. So well done.
But there's this X factor. So in this one, the X factor is there's this crazy nurse who has an angel of death complex or Florence Nightingale complex or whatever it is mm-hmm. that they call it when they start killing their patients.
Yes.
And so she kind of, spoilers, this is full spoilers. So she murders one of the gang leaders. I won't tell you which one. Who gets
not with any vendetta or anything. She's
yeah, nothing
just
related to the gang war or the gang politics.
Yeah.
Just because she's crazy and a serial killer. Mm-hmm. And now that act has, of course, upset the entire
Ripple.
Balance of this because the old Chris Rock and the old Italian gangster kind of respected each other. And there's these themes about how blacks and Italians were both these people who came off the boats
like
and really
yeah.
got, you know, mistreated in America and were both considered, you know, were marginalized in society and, you know, not considered and considered to be second class citizens. And so mm-hmm. their power struggle and they kind of made a truce based on that idea, which is now kind of falling apart because of this one act that this crazy nurse has done. So, yeah. And then thrown in the mix is this family of this crazy mixed family of a white dad and a black mom and their daughter, who is this very kind of precocious but very intelligent young girl who speaks like different languages and self-educated and, you know, gets beaten in the white school because she is so smart and you know, really outspoken and intelligent. And she's the narrator of the story for some reason.
That's so, my favorite yeah. part is her narrating it because it's set up. She's basically doing a book report and like, it will show like scribbles as if she was writing underneath each one, like why they were like age, you know, name, why
yeah,
they were
criminals.
Charged.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool.
So like the whole thing is framed as her book report on the history of Kansas and the kind of gangs of Kansas. And so, yeah, it's pretty good. It's really
and it
slick.
All ties together in two episodes. They at least you realize, okay, all of these people are relevant. Like they're all united in some way, like they all come together and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is
yeah
so good.
It gets and there gets to be like even more gets added to this mix, like two women who escaped prison together mm-hmm. and come back. Yeah, so the family is at the center of it and they run the funeral home in the town, so they're at the center of it. And it turns out like yeah, the nurse is their neighbor across the street and she takes a real interest into this little girl. Yeah, there's the funerals for all these gangs have to come through this place because they're the town mortician. They do both the black and the white funerals. The wife runs the black funerals and the husband does the white funerals. And so it all begins to tie together. And there's stuff about this guy at the hospital, the kind of racist guy who runs the hospital offends the Italian mob. And it gets crazier and crazier in just two episodes. And that's what Fargo does. So Noah Hawley did this, and man, I love the TV this guy makes. It's really, really great. And this is no exception. And the big headline here, if you're kind of wondering, is I was surprised by just how well Chris Rock does in this.
Yeah.
Chris Rock actually plays a really good role in this, and it's not at all Chris Rock. He's actually playing a very well-layered Noah Hawley character, a guy who's a ruthless gangster, but also very smart and kind of sees the angles, and also something of a philosopher in and of himself. He's willing, he's cutthroat and all that, but he's also a family man and a father, and he does this on the thing that he's trying to uplift his people and his community in a country where, of course, they're oppressed. And there's this hilarious side story about his real thing to get legitimate and make a lot of money is him and his right-hand man, whose name is Dr. Senator.
So good.
Yeah. They basically come up with the idea for the credit card, and they keep trying to go to banks and sell the idea for a credit card to banks, and they were just reject them and tell them they're basically nuts for this idea.
Nice.
And so that's the side story.
Banks aren't trying to swindle people. Yeah, we're trying.
Banks would never do this.
Yeah.
And Americans don't like to pay for things they can't afford. And so there's all this humor. And so and he's just and him and Doc Center know this is $1 billion idea, and they're just perplexed by why they can't just get this thing off the ground. So Fargo's weird. It's great. Like I said, Noah Hawley, who also did Legion, probably my favorite superhero TV series. This season looks great. I mean, if you thought it kind of petered out a little bit on seasons 2 or 3, this is really Fargo back to form, so check it out.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Is the only
guy here from Kansas. I really wish I'd watched this show.
Oh, yeah. You might have some nitpicks, but overall this was,
or you might know some people.
Yeah.
Only 2 episodes in so far, so
yeah, it's a good time to jump in. It's on Hulu, FX.
In more recent Kansas City news, the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. Deal with it.
I knew you were gonna slip that in there.
Keep your Andy Reid love away from me. Yeah. All right. Now you take over and talk wrestling. You guys got a little bit of talk wrestling, and then we're going to maybe get a rundown of comics. We'll do an in-depth on next show.
Word.
All righty. So Clash of Champions was this past Sunday. Every title was defended. Only one of them changed hands in a fantastic ladder match. It was for the Intercontinental Championship. Sami Zayn won it. I don't know how Jeff Hardy isn't dead, but Lord, did he try twice. The rest of the show was just kind of meh until we get to the end, and then there is this fantastic storytelling match between Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. Roman's got this guy dead to rights after about 10 minutes, and then decides, you know what, I'm going to spend the next 5 minutes beating this guy into oblivion until he calls me the Tribal Chief, which is his new nickname. And Jey keeps refusing, to the point where his still very injured brother has to limp his way out and throw in the towel so his cousin will stop beating the piss out of him. This was incredible. This was absolutely fantastic.
Yay, wrestling.
This is the best thing going right now in probably all of wrestling. And this Roman Reigns as a heel was a thing we had been asking for years. And we're finally getting it. And in some ways, it's better than I think people imagined. But
way better than I feel like people imagine. Even though people have been wanting a heel Roman for a long time, the Heyman aspect to it, the Jey stuff, the family aspect, all of that has just been it's one of those examples of when WWE just gets it right. You're why can't you? Why can't this be the standard? Why can't you do this all the time?
Right. And,
but yeah.
And he's not a coward. That's the thing that they love to do with bad guys is he has to be the cowardly guy who runs away,
which is great.
No, this guy's just unstoppable.
Which is great, but you can do both. Yeah, you can have right. – it's okay to change that up a little bit. You don't always have to be the cowardly heel. I mean, I feel like that's why, like, at previous times, like, Owens has worked really well sometimes when they push him further into one category than the cowardly stuff that he's, I mean, admittedly very good at. But, yeah, no, definitely that was – it was kind of a bookend. However, I will say the other awesome thing was the Bayley stuff, which is
– yes.
Which is really good. Which
was very spur of the moment because – certain people on the show could not be on the show.
Yeah.
Maybe because of COVID, maybe not. We don't know.
So the fact that they
trashed and now.
Yeah. So the fact that they adapted and then made that good and then still did the payoff of the Sasha's, like all that stuff was, I eat that up. Like that's my favorite current storyline, period. Cause I think they've just done an excellent job at like pacing that out. So, I mean, that, but yeah, it was kind of a bookend. It was weird that they started with the ladder match because I honestly thought, oh, they'll save that for like the end of the first hour. Like, nope, we're kicking right off with that. And Jeff Hardy gets his ear handcuffed to a ladder.
His earlobe. We're back to messing with his ear gauges again.
He's got to stop that. That's freaky, man.
He's going to lose that ear at some
point. It freaks me out every time. I did love his reaction, though, in real time of like, what the hell? Like, even the camera caught him. It's like, what is this? Who does this to somebody? That's great.
And at the end, he's just walking around the ring like, this ladder is attached to my ear. There's nothing I can do.
I can't get it off. That's so good. Okay.
But no, so Roman is amazing as a heel. I don't know if you saw the interview he dropped today, but he's like, yeah, you remember Daniel Day-Lewis as Billy the Butcher in Gangs of New York? Yeah, that's what I'm going for here. And I'm like, oh my God, it's amazing.
I even don't like the tribal chief thing.
The match played off more like the I drink your milkshake scene from There Will Be Blood. Because he's basically just telling him how it's going to be and then
beats. Have you just been like watching Daniel Day-Lewis movies or something?
He must
what,
have
you
been.
Don't know I drink your milkshake?
No, I know all these scenes very well. I love all these movies, but like you just dropped two Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, you did go back to back. You did go back to back. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was just – it's.
Well, I'm just saying he's comparing one character and I'm saying it's a little bit more like another, but no, oh, I see what he's doing with the butcher.
I see what you're there. All right.
I don't like the tribal chief thing. Can I?
That's
so
fair.
Lame.
That's
it's
totally
so
fair.
Corny when he's like, call me tribal chief. I'm like, what the? Who? Like, as Simon Miller would say, who talks like that? No one talks like that. Anyway.
See, that feels like either a Heyman thing or a we need a trademark and this is what we could get our hands on.
Yeah, totally. And Heyman, when Heyman says it, it's just as corny. Like, it's not a Reigns thing. It's just every time I hear it, tribal chief, I'm like, oh my God.
When he calls him the Reignsing heavyweight champion, it's like, guys,
just stop it.
We don't need that.
Stop it.
Anyway. But he's
they're always trying to get a shirt out of something.
Yes. But it is the best thing going right now, undisputedly. So if you want to watch anything in wrestling, you know, even the AEW stuff, I'd say go watch what Roman is doing right now each week on SmackDown. It is that freaking good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's our wrestling roundup.
All right, Matt, you want to take us through comics?
Yeah, so we'll get to, as Kofi kind of talked about, we'll get into a deep dive stuff next time. And we definitely want to because this was the second issue of Three Jokers. And after the first discussion we had about the first issue, I'm sure there are lots of things to talk about in this one as well. We also have Batman, the Joker War Zone, which, by the way, if you're keeping up with Joker War but are actually maybe more interested in what happens after, this is kind of a need to read because there's like multiple stories in this, but like two of them set the foundation for what's coming later, very overtly too. So that would be something to pay attention to. We also have Department of Truth #1, Shang-Chi #1, MMPR #54, The Immortal Hulk, The Threshing Place #1, Dark Knight's Death Metal Multiverse's End #1, which, by the way, if you want your brain just to implode from multiverse like shenanigans, this is the book to read. It was good. I liked it, but good Lord, sometimes it's so
I've opened several of these Dark Knight death metal tie-ins or spin-offs or whatever they are, like compendiums. I don't know what these things are. Like, I've opened the Speed Metal, I've opened Trinity, I've opened this one, and I've quickly closed all three. And I'm like,
you get hit so hard with like, so here's what happened at the source wall. I was like, oh.
Yeah, you've just lost, like, I've lost the entire, I'm sure Scott Snyder is under a pile of papers and he understands the metaphor of all this. You lost me so long ago. Like, oh, man. Trying to fit this all, I feel like this has just become some weird puzzle exercise to fit it all to heavy metal music in some kind of way, as opposed to like an actual story. Like, I don't even know where we are.
But like, that said, I actually like this issue, but it's one of those weird things. Like, I get it. I totally get how someone's going to read this and go like, what? It's just like, no, I'm good. We also have Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, number 3, Alienated, number 6, Wonder Woman, number 763, Wonder Woman 84, number 1, Star Wars, Dr. Aphra, number 4, and Avengers, number 36, which, by the way, that is another one that we will definitely talk about next time, because the thing we talked about, I'm trying to dance around this with spoilers, we have talked about a thing that's related to this in a previous episode that this directly relates to, and I will be very interested to talk about that with you at some point.
That could mean literally
I'm not trying to spoil it.
We're not doing spoilers for it, so I'm trying to dance around it. I think I did a pretty good job.
I'm sure that is very much appreciated. No spoilers.
And then when we talk about it, though, everyone's going to go, oh, that thing. Yeah, so anyway. So yes, so that's comics, but definitely a lot to talk about next episode.
All right. Thank you, Matt. That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. We want to thank everyone for tuning in, as always. If you're just now getting into the show, we put up new episodes every Wednesday and Friday on comicbook.com. You can listen there on the site, or we're on your favorite podcast platforms. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Google Playlists. You can tell any smart home device to fire up Comic Book Nation Podcast, and it will start playing right there for you. If you want to watch us, we put up videos live on Facebook every Wednesday and Friday, and we're going to be bringing back the YouTube this time on an official, as Jim told you last show, we're going to have an official Comic Book Nation YouTube section. Yeah. So we'll have video of every show on YouTube if you want to
watch it. Look at us being legit.
Yeah, we're getting more legit by the minute. If you want to follow along the show, get up new episode updates, talk with us, see what's going on in the news, all that stuff, you can now follow the official Comic Book Nation Twitter account. It's at Comic Book Nation. And, or if you just want to always jump on the hashtag and see what we're doing, we still keep that going too. Hashtag Comic Book Nation. You can find me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Matt Aguilar CB.
You can find me at Janelle Wheeler and on Twitch.
And you can find me at Connor Casey _ CB.
If you like the show, go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. Because when we get back access to our merch closet, once COVID's done with, maybe in 2023 or whatever it is now, we're going to get back in there and send out a bunch of T-shirts to people. And we want to make sure all our 5-star reviewers get one. So leave those on Apple Podcasts for me, and we'll get one out to you. Otherwise, thank you for tuning in. As always, this has been Comic Book Nation. We like you guys to stay checked in with us, stay talking, stay being part of the community. We love having you, and we'll see you next show. Peace.
Later.